When I hold a brick in my hand, I know exactly what it is and what it... I'm doing a sting
for the beginning of the episode. No, it's Aaron Eckhart, the Bricklayer 2023. Aaron Eckhart, the Bricklayer. Not the 2023 one. No, I'm just saying he says something about when he holds a brick in his hand, he knows exactly what it is and what it can do. No, it's from the movie. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm recording it into the microphone. Yeah, the Bricklayer. Yeah, Aaron Eckhart. Yeah, yeah, from The Dark Knight. No, he says about the brick. Yeah, when he holds it in his hand, he knows what it is and what it can do. I'm trying to recreate that for the... Well, no, I could use the clip. I could clip it from the trailer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's two trailers, yeah, that both use that voiceover. Well, no, I just thought it'd be fun for the listeners if I tried to recreate it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Forget it. I won't even include this bit.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Say it.
Say it. Say it.
Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe.
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 Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe to pipe Bushman.
We've got to return some videotapes.
In which Aaron Eckhart actually says out loud during the movie, quite early on into the movie, when asked who he is, having walked into an office, he says out loud during the movie, "I'm the Bricklayer." That's all you need to know. Oh my God. Right, stop there. If you haven't listened to the episode on Moonfall, pause this episode on The Bricklayer, the 2023 Rennie Harlin action thriller with Aaron Eckhart, Nina Dobrev, Tim Blake Nelson, Clifton Collins. Yes, this is actually a surprising cast, FYI. If you haven't gone back and listened to the Moonfall episode, please go back and listen to the Moonfall episode. If you haven't seen Moonfall, don't listen to the episode. Go and watch Moonfall. Then come back to Movie Pipe and listen to the Moonfall episode. Get that out of the way. Have a good laugh. Because it's probably the best episode of Movie Pipe so far. Shortly followed by Only a Baby Elephant Will Do. And then come and listen to... Well, actually, then go and watch The Bricklayer. Then come and listen to this episode of The Bricklayer on Movie Pipe. The Aaron Eckhart, Rennie Harlin action thriller from 2023. Yes, they made this film basically 12 months ago. I haven't had this much fun watching a movie for a long time. It was hilarious. This film is not a good film, just FYI. However, it's extremely enjoyable because Aaron Eckhart, bless him, bless his fading star. Whatever happened to him after Thank You for Smoking and The Dark Knight? I mean, goodness, that was a hell of a 1-2 punch, wasn't it? And then he kind of went into Battle of Los Angeles. He had that weird Frankenstein thing. He kind of fell off the radar. In my half-assed internet research, to borrow the Rewatchables category, I read online on the internet, on the World Wide Web, whilst I was surfing it, that Aaron Eckhart is hard to work with. I have no evidence to support these claims. It's just something I read on the internet. But is that what has contributed to his lack of quality roles over the last, 15 years? He's a great actor. He's got an incredible chin as well. Which is why it was clever casting, wasn't it, for Harvey Dent? Because Bruce Wayne's date, the ballet dancer from the show, who meets Harvey Dent at the restaurant and says, "Are you the Batman?" or whatever it is, when she puts up the card over his beak. And he's got a big old Batman chin, isn't he, with the dimple. I've heard, actually, that when... just drinking some coffee. When Aaron Eckhart is thirsty and it's raining outside, he goes outside, he tilts his head back, and he lets that little, quite considerable dimple in his chin fill up with water. And then he just tilts his head back a little bit more, just so it trickles into his mouth, and that's how he quenches his thirst on occasion. Anyway, so now you're back, because you've gone and done all those other things. You've watched Moonfall, you've listened to the Moonfall episode, you've watched Bricklayer, you've now come back, and you've either saved where you were or you restarted and you got back to this point on the episode, Bricklayer 2023. The Aaron Eckhart, Rennie Harlin, when I saw his name on screen, I mean, I got goosebumps. Die Hard 2, Rennie Harlin's follow-up to John McTiernan's, remarkable 1988 Die Hard, one of the greatest action films of the modern age. Rennie Harlin was given the sequel, Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Not as loved as the original, but it's so much fun, that movie. And then you've got Die Hard with a Vengeance, which would probably come as the second best Die Hard if you had to rank them. But I think it goes 1, 3, 2. And then it's, you just have a knife fight for the remaining two Die Hards that were released. Which, if you're a completist, they're not terrible. There's been worse action films. Which brings me on to the Bricklayer 2023 movie. What's this on Netflix? I'd never heard of it. I don't know if this was in cinemas on a theatrical release or it went straight to streaming / home media. But my wife actually selected this because we're now free of the screening committee, so we get to choose. Will, who's never on this bloody podcast, he's always busy, so I have to do all the episodes. But when Will is free, and when I am also free, and when we're both free, we do get to choose, dear Pipeheads, we do get to choose the movies that we watch. We're no longer forced into screening rooms at gunpoint, at weapon point. Sometimes it's not guns, sometimes it's a bread knife. And this time I relinquished all responsibility. And my wife, my amazing wife, said, "Hey, let's watch The Bricklayer." She likes The Dark Knight, she likes Harvey Dent. That was her logic. That was it. That was enough for her to click play, or hit play, on Netflix. So anyway, obviously it starts with some bricklaying activity. No, it doesn't, does it? I can't remember. This is the thing, I don't remember a lot about this movie, just FYI. This is not a traditional review. This is more me rambling about why I believe you, dear Pipehead, should prioritise watching The Bricklayer on Netflix at some point. just to have fun with how bad it is. So I forget exactly how it starts, but very soon into the movie, Aaron Eckhart's character is introduced and he says the now infamous line, "I'm the bricklayer," which is amazing. It's just like, it's too quick. It happens too soon, but they're very keen to get to, you know, the editing of this movie. And my wife actually said afterwards, she said, "I think they cut out a lot of the bricklaying." I think there's a director's cut of the bricklayer, right? Where there's a good 20, 30 minutes more of the art, the craft, the trade of bricklaying. You only get a snippet, like a teaser, if you like, of Aaron Eckhart actually laying bricks. And then that's not a euphemism. He is physically building or repairing a wall. And anyway, he introduces himself as a bricklayer. He then goes up onto a roof. I think it's Philadelphia. He starts repairing part of a wall. He's like, I think he's listening to music as well. Maybe he's into classical music. So there's that kind of character trait that's introduced. It's very heavy-handed, but I love it. He's repairing the wall. And then he's obviously, there's a flashback. His flashback, his sister, I think, and his niece get killed. And there's Clifton Collins is involved. Like, he's kind of a character in this. Again, I probably need to rewatch it to really understand what he does. I think he's the antagonist, but he's also like, he's either married or was the partner of the bricklayer's sister and niece. So it's kind of like flashbacks of them on the beach. It's this amazing scene where Vale, who's actually, that's his name, the bricklayer's name is Vale. His last name is Vale, but he's also referred to as Vale, which is peculiar. But he's on the beach with his niece or whatever, and it's like a close-up of him building a sandcastle with the niece. And for some reason, he has his trowel, right, which is an important tool, as we learn, in the craft of bricklaying, right? This is where you get the cement, the wet cement out of the bucket, and you kind of butter up the brick, right? And you clean off the edges and you put the brick in, and then you use the trowel to sort of position the brick and tidy up the cement. Anyway, he's using the trowel on the beach, and he says to the niece, "Remember, the trowel is the most important tool." And you're like, oh, interesting. Chekhov's trowel, right? Referring there to Chekhov's gun, which is, if I present a gun in the first act, the gun must be used by the end of the movie, by the end of the story. So you're like, okay, this is all about the trowel. This is kind of a warrior's code, if you like, but borrowing the sort of samurai parlance, bringing it into the bricklaying world, right? The trowel is like his saber. Anyway, and yes, he kills a guy with the trowel, but there's never enough emphasis put back on the trowel. It never comes back as like this significant moment. Like, it, again, this is where I think it's been edited out. Like, we needed more trowel, okay? Like, this, I would have preferred a lot more trowel and a lot more, like, that's all he had. Like, that was his thing. Like, if he didn't have guns, he didn't have knives, he had a trowel, that was it. But he doesn't, because he does have guns, he has bombs, all this kind of stuff. So it's a bit disingenuous when he says, just going to take a sip of the old coffee here. Lovely nut juice, that one. So it's a bit disingenuous when he's introducing to us, the audience, the significance, the importance of said trowel. However, it doesn't play really that big a role in the rest of the story. So that's definitely where I can see a lower rating for this film. Because there's probably people who are going, I'd wager, going to see this film or you know, spinning it up on their streaming service. Because they are into bricklaying. You know, it's a very popular hobby for home improvement folks. You know, there's schools and courses that you can go on to learn about bricklaying. It's a very particular type of trade. Hence why they built an entire movie around the idea of it. I would have loved to have been at that pitch, you know, the movie studio. Can you imagine that? You got Rennie Harlan there attached as director, Aaron Eckhart, pretty big name. I'd argue he's A-list. He might be towards the bottom, but I'd say he's A-list, or at least was A-list. And they're in the room, aren't they? And they're there for the moral support of the producer. And he's about to, you know, he's probably pitched a few other ideas as well. But this is it. He looks around, he looks at Rennie, he looks at Aaron, and he has that kind of confident grin on his face as he turns over the page, takes a deep breath, adjusts his collar, and says to the room, "Gentlemen, the bricklayer," and then proceeds to go into the synopsis, and everybody gets excited. The hairs stand up on their back of their necks. One studio executive gets halfway through his question, "Will there be a trap?" Rennie interjects and says, "Yes, there'll be a trowel. Don't worry, we know it's the most important tool in the bricklaying fraternity." So, yeah, there you go, boys. There's probably 20 million or something was spent on this movie. And there you go, they had it. Now, because it is a Rennie Harlan joint, and I'd have to check who the cinematographer is, but it looks good. This is not just a schlocky sort of, you know, straight to streaming movie. This actually does look pretty good. It has many of the visual tropes of a Harlan movie. It's not shot on film, I imagine because it would have been too expensive, but my goodness, I would love to see the bricklayer on film. I just think the way Harlan shoots and the lighting, it really would have just added that sort of 90s nostalgia to it. But alas, it's shot on digital, and but they do a great job. So it kind of punches above its weight in terms of production, look and feel. The cast, as I mentioned, is pretty good. You got Tim Blake Nelson in there, you got Clifton Collins, who's criminally underused. There's kind of a strange scene, which I guess was added later, where he's kind of on the FaceTime, right? And I don't know if you've noticed, in a lot of modern films, that becomes a post-production trick to try and solve any plot holes that they have or any reshoots that they have. They just have one of the actors kind of do a FaceTime or send a video. So there's no real studio time required. Again, this might have been shot during COVID. I don't know, I haven't looked into it. Anyway, so, and then you've got Nina Dobrev, who's kind of the young protege, CIA. Yeah, by the way, it's all CIA as well. He's the bricklayer, but he's retired. And he's now come, I'd need to go and look at why he got called back. You know, it's like, and he's doing his best Liam Neeson in Taken. Maybe that's what Aaron Eckhart thought. He's like, okay, the lead roles in major motion pictures are drying up. Chris Nolan isn't calling me up for Oppenheimer 2. You know, that Frankenstein thing didn't really do me any favours. There's not going to be a Battle of Los Angeles 2 because that's actually playing out in real life. Yes, there's probably going to be an alien invasion. I met an alien on a plane. I don't know if you remember that from the Babylon Part 1 episode. Nice bit of nut sauce there. And So Aaron Eckhart's like, okay. He's like, what's my move? He's talking to his agents. He's like, I need a Neeson. I need to do a Neeson. Now, as we know, Liam Neeson, I wouldn't say he was dried up, but he really re-energized his career, didn't he, Dear Pipeheads, through the Taken franchise. And then that became the model for aging movie stars. You see the Pierce Brosnan, who was once Bond, James Bond, at the time of being Bond. Anybody who's Bond is one of the most famous people in the world at that time. And, you know, Pierce Brosnan did a good innings, didn't he, as Bond? He's pretty well liked as Bond. The movies, maybe not so much, but his Bond, I think, well regarded for the violently bad movie, progressively worse movies after GoldenEye that he was part of. I do like Tomorrow Never Dies. I like the storyline, the media mogul thing. Don't sleep on Jonathan Pryce as a baddie. Anyway, I digress. So you've got your Neesons, you've got your Brosnan. You've got your Brosnan. And then you've got your Eckhart, right? So Eckhart has gone down the Neeson and the Brosnan, both Irish, by the way. Interesting. So I've got a cough. I inhaled some brick dust at the weekend. No, it wasn't recreational. Anyway, so he's like, get me a Taken, get me a, what's that one with Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan? It's actually quite good. The Foreigner. Yes, get me a The Foreigner and get me a Taken. And there you go. You got Aaron Eckhart's agent came back. He's like, Aaron, you sitting down? He's like, yeah, I'm sitting down. All right, you wanted a Neeson, you wanted a Brosnan. All right, how about the Bricklayer? I can get you in. Salary 1.5, not bad. And you've got points on the international gross. This is going to be huge in Malaysia because you're a fan there. You have a dedicated fan base from Thank You for Smoking, a big smoking demographic, isn't it, in Malaysia? They love to toot the old cigarette. So Eckhart, he has a lot of brand equity over there in the what's that area of the world called? Anyway, Asia area. He's like, right, sign me up. And we got Harlin attached. He's Die Hard 2, Kiss Kiss, Bang Bang. No, sorry, Long Kiss Goodbye. That's a classic. Fucking Shane Black movie. Samuel Jackson, Gina Davis, Rennie Harlin. This is what I'm talking about. Like, don't sleep on Rennie Harlin. Anyway, The Bricklayer. It's fucking amazing. It has about 5 endings. Again, I think this has just been edited to pieces. I'd love to see a director's cut. We're never going to see a director's cut. And I would definitely call it The Bricklayer, brick by brick or something. You know, we're never going to get a sequel. The people that you think are the bad guys, like the twist that you expect, the twists don't happen. And then twists happen that, again, you just think that really doesn't make a lot of sense because there was no clues given. Like, typically in these types of movies, the storytelling sort of framework, the rubric that they use, there's enough of a foreshadowing, right, if you're kind of savvy to how these movies are made. And that's part of the fun of these movies, is they're kind of, it's a nod and a wink to the audience that, yes, we're not going to fully give it away, but we're going to give you a little bit of a clue, so when it does happen, you're like, oh, that guy or this girl. None of that here. So again, I think the editing of this movie really brought the quality of it down. And I really don't know why that is, but again, The Bricklayer, 2023. Please, if urge you to watch this. It's such a good time. Go in with very low expectations. Go for the ride. Just enjoy the kind of cheesiness of it. But Aaron Eckhart is so earnest. Bless him. Like, he thinks he's in a Bourne movie. But really, this is a B movie. And I think if he just had that little bit of a glint in his eye, you know, he could have sold this as more of a out-and-out B-movie, maybe with a little bit of satire in it. But alas, The Bricklayer 2023 is a serious attempt at an action thriller, and it does fail. But that's not a reason not to watch it and love it, my dear pipeheads. And this is why we had to record an episode on The Bricklayer, the 2023 Aaron Eckhart crime thriller, espionage thriller. You won't regret it, but don't fax me if you don't like it. It's not my responsibility for the movies that you might or might not like. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. You made it all the way through the episode, but you're not going to watch The Bricklayer, the 2023 Rennie Harlin directed Aaron Eckhart action vehicle. Look, put some respect on The Bricklayer, okay? Because what's going to happen is that brick dust again. What's going to happen is you're going to watch The Bricklayer. Watch it with your partner or some friends or whatever, your neighbour. But have some people there, have a laugh, enjoy it. And then afterwards, what's going to happen is you're going to go for a drink, or you're going to go for dinner, or you're going to be laying in bed or walking around the neighbourhood or whatever. And you're going to start talking about The Bricklayer. And then days later, even weeks later, you're going to be referring back to The Bricklayer. You'll be like, babe, hey, what about, the window washer? Or, yeah, what about the weed whacker or something like that? And it's going to be very funny, because what you're going to do is you're going to start inventing movies that don't exist, right? Because of The Bricklayer. The influence on The Bricklayer will permeate your very existence. You will start listing potential trade-based action movies, all right? It's amusing. It's endless entertainment, in fact. What other form of media can give you this? Right? And Aaron Eckhart, he'll never know. But put it into the universe. Put the good vibes into the universe. Because one day, when you meet Mr. Eckhart at one of these conventions where, I mean, his star will, by that point, have completely faded to the extent of being invisible. And he'll be there signing pictures of himself. Probably there's some Harvey Dent, Two-Face, right? And every time he signs that, every time somebody hands him the Harvey Dent, Two-Face picture, he'll happily sign it, obviously, because he's getting $10 for it. But just what's going through his mind as he's signing his name there on probably his apex role. Please go with The Bricklayer poster. You watch his eyes light up. You watch his mood change. He'll be like, hey, kid, you saw that? Damn right I saw it. And I didn't just see it, Aaron. I listened to the Movie Pipe episode. I listened to JJ Conk. Yeah, he's one of the presenters. By the way, you should listen to Movie Pipe. It's very good, Mr. Eckhart. I'll give it to your agent. He's not your agent. He's your assistant. Sorry. Part-time. Yeah, whatever. I'll share it with your part-time assistant. He can log you into his Spotify, because you probably don't have an account now because you run out of money. Anyway, don't share passwords, Aaron. Anyway, I digress, young man who's in front of me signing things for me. You're much older than me, so you're not young. You're probably a bit older though, aren't you? But that's disrespectful! Mr. Eckhart, you must understand the impact The Bricklayer had on my life, our life, your life. Thank you. Now, please, please, please make a Bricklayer 2. And I think that's your path back, sir, to the big time. is with a Bricklayer sequel or a prequel. Hell, there may even be a series connected to it after you've fleshed out the bricklaying extended universe. I see a big future for you, Mr. Eckhart. Thank you so much for signing my poster. This will be in the centerpiece of my Aaron Eckhart shrine in my second home in Malibu, paid for and sponsored for by the proceedings of Movie Pipe. Thank you very much.